Hello.
We have a friend here today.
That's right. Say hi.
Say hi.
Hi.
Oh.
We don't often get a lot of male visitors here on Prosecco Theory, but we're very glad to have you. This is my friend.
I thought you were going to say we don't get a lot of dick. And I was going to say, speak for yourself. Just kidding.
Well, why would I say that?
I know. Yeah.
I love where this conversation's going so far.
This is how it works.
I know.
This is how we work.
Glad you came. Hey. Just kidding. Sorry, started already.
It never stops. So everyone, meet my friend Ryan, who I've known since I was 18?
I was thinking about this today, actually, and we met 24 years ago.
Yeah. Okay, so I was 19. That sounds right.
I was 20.
Ryan went to school with some friends of mine, and we ended up hanging out in Bellingham a ton, where you were, which led to Ryan and I dating for quite a while. A couple years together in college. Aww. And
the most magical college experience ever.
Fucking right.
I'm so sorry it didn't work out, you guys.
You know what? We have remained friends because he's a really great guy. And we're grown-ass adults who can do that sort of thing.
Actually, he's here to roast you.
I'm just letting you know now.
All right, do your worst.
Completely planned. Get ready.
So, Ryan, we've asked you here today.
For an intervention.
For a dating intervention, but mostly so you can tell us what's going on from your side of the world.
Yeah, we have questions about dating as a single man in Seattle.
Sweet.
Starting with, is it as awful as it is for women?
Well, I can probably answer that question with a pretty close yes.
Yeah.
Based on the fact I've listened to 62 episodes
of
the show.
Oh, thank you.
You've been doing work.
You must be a big fan.
Yep. And I've heard you talk about dating and the difficulties and the trickiness, and I don't know if they're the exact same difficulties, but there definitely are quite a few.
Tell us what the apps are like for you.
The best use of my time.
Obviously, I say that. Mm-hmm.
I've not wasted hours on those before. Definitely not.
No, us either.
Every moment's been very rewarding.
Everybody responds all the time.
Everybody responds. And actually, for me, one of the things that I'm sure it's everybody, right, has a pet peeve about not getting responses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the one hand, I don't want to be entitled, like, you owe me a response. But at the same time, we're on a dating app.
Right.
We've matched.
Right.
I like you. You like me.
Right.
Check a box.
Yeah. Why are we here?
Like, you checked a box, sent it back, and then you disappeared from school? Like, what's that about?
Yeah, it's weird.
We definitely have had a lot of those same experiences.
Mm-hmm.
The way that I've thought about it is that most men, and this might be completely fucking off base and rude of me to say, but I think most men, or a lot of men anyway, swipe yes on everybody and then see who they match with and then talk to them.
They can't see you doing that. He's considering.
I'm not saying you do. I think a lot of guys do.
Okay.
Without really reading a profile, they're just like, yes, 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 yes. I'll check it out if the time will be well spent later because we matched. Well,
that's an interesting screening process.
You don't swipe right on everyone and then just decide if you're going to message someone if you match?
No, definitely not.
You're more thoughtful about
it than
that.
And I would like to think, and this might be an overstatement, I don't know, but I would like to think most guys approach it the same way that I do. Where you're actually, I know the skepticism.
It's
the exact opposite of my experience. And maybe that's wishful thinking. I would like to think it's not, because that's a discerning adult way to do things.
Agreed.
Right? Like, why would I just right swipe?
Yeah, that's
right
one.
Swipe on, but like, I've never done it 1,000 times.
You know? Yeah, you're actually swiping the wrong way. I figured out why it's not working for you.
We just fixed your
mind
life.
Blown.
You're going to be married in 6 months.
Oh, boy. Anyway, what I was going to say is I don't think that women do approach it that way, the swipe yes to everyone.
Right.
I hope you're right that that's not what most men are doing, but
So
experience tells me that that might not be the case.
So I'm curious. So, you know, knowing how I approach it, knowing how you just described how you think most guys approach it, how do you approach it?
Oh, much more like you. For me, anyway. I read through an actual profile. I look at all the pictures. I read their stuff. I don't say yes to everyone. I'm considerate about it, I think.
Yeah. Do you guys use the super like or super swipes or whatever?
Only accidentally. Usually with people I'm not at all attracted to, because I'm trying to see more pictures, but I'm on the wrong app.
She thinks she's on Bumble, but she's on Tinder.
Right.
And
yeah.
Oops.
That's how that happens.
I've thrown an occasional super like out there, but I've actually done a lot of accidental ones too.
It happens.
What about you? Do you super like people?
Every now and then, yeah. You know, it's very seldom that it happens, but every now and then I'm like, how can I stand out? You get a blue star.
Right.
Yeah.
This is extra
what we're reduced
star.
To.
So I'm trying to think of how best to ask you questions to make you tell us some of the stories you told me the other day, because there were some really good ones.
Which stories did I tell you?
I don't know. There were a lot of margaritas, man.
What about you just start with one bad date?
Yeah.
I have to be honest. I think I've been pretty fortunate. Bad dates, not so many. Probably because I screen them well.
Right. See?
Oh, actually.
Guys doing the swipe everything on everyone, screen them first. Maybe your dates will be better.
Maybe.
Most of the time I get pretty normal people and they might just ask me weird questions. Like recently, I went on a date with a really nice girl. We went out 3 times. After the first time, great date. We went to dinner in Capitol Hill, stayed there till the restaurant closed. Good conversation.
Right.
More than just the normal questions.
Right. Wasn't superficial.
Not superficial. Good. Exactly. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. The next day she called me. I was like, whoa, who is this person?
An actual phone call.
Phone call? What? And we talked for a little bit. And to be fair, this was within the context of the conversation. However, she did ask me if I had a vasectomy, which I've never been asked that by anyone, first of all. And then secondly, I've not been asked that in a dating scenario.
After one date.
Especially after one date.
Yeah.
Like maybe after, you know, we've gone out several times and maybe we're talking about kids or something.
Right.
Would you ever want to do that? Or however that part of the conversation comes up.
That's a big swing.
Yeah.
Went for it. That was followed by, do you have any STDs I should know about? And I'm like, okay,
wow.
All in.
She's covering her bases, man.
Yeah. I'm just like, well, I know where your head's at. That's good to know.
Yeah.
It was pretty crazy.
You still went on 2 more dates after that?
I still did, yeah.
Well, yeah, because he knew where her head was at.
Yeah. I know. Well, just honestly, didn't escape me. I'll say that.
We're very sex positive here. So
he knows.
Just own that.
But yeah, we went on 2 dates after that and it ended up not working out. It was very mature and very adult. But
As they mostly do.
But it actually reminds me, I went on another first date with a girl around that time frame. And she was from Los Angeles. We had a conversation about dating in Seattle. One of the first questions out of her mouth was, do you find it hard to date here? And I'm like, yeah, I didn't used to. When I was younger, it was so much easier.
Yeah.
And now it seems like the hardest thing, even though we have all these extra tools to get it done. Mm-hmm. Right? We didn't have dating apps back
then.
Maybe
we're making it harder.
Tools, distractions.
Perhaps. Right? And there's the theory that there's too much choice.
Right. Paradox of choice.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
So there's that. But we're having this conversation, and her comment to me from a female's perspective from another city, which was kind of interesting, is that everybody here seems super serious about dating. That it's a job interview. And she literally said job interview every time I go out on a date.
Interesting.
And she's like, why can't it just be fun? Which this was at the beginning of our date. So clearly she was laying down like, hey, dude, don't interview me in this.
Don't ask her my resume.
So I totally had to scrap my entire playbook for the date. It's kind of a bummer, but.
Like, let me just put these questions I had typed up away.
Well, I will put my cards away. Thank you.
Yeah. Wow. I can see that. And I mean, for me, given that the reason I'm dating is because I do want something long-term and serious. And
and
I had moments, for sure, of dating for fun and not giving a shit about that. And I don't need to know your full fucking history and where you want to go in the next 5 years or whatever, because I'm just here to have some fun. And then as soon as I wasn't, like, that wasn't the goal anymore. And I'm the person who does do those deep dive questions right out the gate, if possible. So
you're the one she was talking about.
Sorry, guys. Sorry, everyone.
It all started with this girl named Michelle.
Fuck.
Well, on the other side of that, though, I really value good questions, right? Like, the beginning of the story, I'm like, finally, someone will talk about something that's not just superficial.
Right.
And I have to describe what I do for work for the 8,000th time.
Right.
You know?
And how was that weather today?
Yeah, right? So it was really cool that way, for sure. I think it's beneficial, for sure, in a dating scenario, especially when you're of the mind, and I share that perspective, too, where I'm out here trying to find someone special,
right?
And you got to kind of get down below the surface if you want to find out that information. But maybe the vasectomy questions are like a third date.
I mean, I think you're right about that. That seemed a little premature.
Yeah.
Which is a weird choice of
words.
It's
really
personal. Anyway, sorry. It is very personal.
When do you think it's maybe not that question that's so personal, but when do you think it's okay to start talking with someone about, like, do you want kids? Because it seems weird to come out of the gate with that. But if you are not of the same mind frame on that, why continue, right? If you're looking for something long term.
Yeah. To that point, I think a lot of times those are, I hate this phrase, but table stakes questions, right?
Yeah.
It's do you want kids?
Deal breakers.
You know, stuff that honestly is in profiles a lot now. Like if you look at Hinge, for instance, right? I think Hinge, and I think I'm on there all the time.
There's this app, I think it's called Hinge.
I think it's called Hinge.
I'm
you heard about
it
dating
day,
apps. I'm not sure. But there's a spot where it, you know, it indicates in the, one of the main questions what your kid interest level is. And you put right there. And so it's a table stakes question.
Yeah.
So like the basic question around like, do you want kids? Is that something that you're into? Or
maybe you can screen for that earlier than sitting across the table from them.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there like a fill in the blank? Like, I don't know. Are you crazy? Do you have bad genes?
Do you want kids with someone not nuts?
Right. Yeah.
That'd be great.
I suppose it depends. Who are you? Yeah, those are the kinds of things that like I wouldn't want to spend a few dates getting to know somebody before I find out that we want completely different things out of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So would you would bring it up on a first date if it wasn't apparent in their profile?
Probably. Okay. Yeah. Because this shop's fucking closed. And if they want their own, they're looking at the wrong store.
What do you think? If someone asked you on a first date if you wanted kids, would you think that was intense?
44-year-old Ryan would not find that weird whatsoever.
Okay. 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
34-year-old Ryan would be like, whoa, dude. Yeah. Oh, man. I thought we were getting drinks and maybe something else.
Yeah.
What is this, like an interview?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Was that girl 34 that you went out with?
Probably. Maybe.
That's another thing we talk about.
That's exactly what happened.
Is that men tend to date younger, set their filters so that younger women are coming up. Mm-hmm. What's your range, Ryan?
My range, I think, is currently 31 to 45, which I realize is really...
You just said it out loud, and now you're hearing it. Yeah.
But...
I want to hear the second part.
But to hopefully maybe not be a douchebag, I do want to have kids. Mm-hmm. And realizing at 44, the girls in my immediate age range, which is normally where I've dated, a lot of those girls don't want to have kids. Or they've already had kids and they're done. Yeah. Right? The shop is closed.
Also closed.
Right?
That's right.
So with that in mind, I'm like, well, I need to skew younger if I want to actually have kids. But to the point around, is that an appropriate question? I definitely think it's appropriate now. And then my perspective on it has been changing over the years. Mm-hmm. So a couple of years ago, I realized, granted, I came to this realization kind of late, but I realized, you know, having kids would really be cool. Okay. That would be awesome. Some stuff happened in my life and I'm like, yeah, I get it now. Late to the party, but I'm here.
Ding.
But having that realization later, you know, I was like, okay, great. I'm going to set my age range as younger and see what happens. Then you run into the difficulty of dating, period. And now, as you know, another year or two has gone by and my mindset has shifted again to, I would really like to do that, but I have to be realistic about where I'm at in life, right? Mm. I'm at 44 and the people that I relate with the best are not 30.
Right. Yeah, not so much.
That's why you went to 31.
Totally. So much more mature.
Right.
One more year.
Were you born when Pearl Jam was a band or not?
Can
answer that question. I was hanging out with a girl yesterday, as a matter of fact. She is also 10 years younger than I am. And she didn't know immediately who Eddie Vedder was. And my heart kind of hurt a little.
And didn't she not know who somebody else was at some point?
Oh, yeah. That was years ago. That was actually a girl that I met in real life. And
what?
We met. I know.
No wonder it was years ago.
Me and some buddies were at Shelter Lounge in Ballard, which the one in Ballard is... I think Meat Market has been
tossed
out there. So anyway, we were hanging out and this girl introduced herself to me, like out of nowhere, and came up to me.
Awesome.
And I'm like, whoa.
That's the dream.
And then she's super pretty. And she was also rather tall, which is kind of important for me because I am 6'2".
Because you are rather tall yourself.
You're rather tall yourself. So that was really cool, like to have a girl come up and like introduce herself to me. And she's, as it turns out, after we went on our first date, I found out that she was quite a bit younger. I was like 35 at the time and she was like 24 or something like that. There's a pretty good gap there, right?
Just I mean, I married a guy that was not that far off from that scenario. So it's possible.
It's possible. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Anyway.
My hope was, I was hopeful.
Yeah.
But on our, I think our second date, we were going to the Triple Door, which is fantastic. Love going there.
Fucking love that place.
And at the time, there was a benefit concert, and Duff McKagan, the bassist from Guns N' Roses, was the lead person putting this all together. And A, didn't know who Duff McKagan was, which I'm like, okay, not everybody knows who the bassist for Guns N' Roses was. The all right.
Deep cut band member names,
that's
maybe not.
Fair. But when she didn't know who Motley Crue was when I put it on my stereo, I was like, what is even happening?
You're like, get out.
Which, yes, I also put Motley Crue on my stereo on a date. So maybe that was a mistake on my part.
With a 24-year-old.
But wait, do you know this one? But wait.
He's pretty cool, but he always puts on oldies when we make out.
I have a question. Do you feel like girls ghost a lot? I'm asking because, well, first of all, I've personally come off two recent ghosts, but it seems like guys do that a lot. And I'm curious if you think girls do that a lot.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. At what point?
Only a couple times in my life have I had a situation where we went on dates and actually met in person and then poof.
Right.
Okay.
Kaiser Soze. That's only happened a couple times. And that was pre-apps, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
Usually with the dating app scenario, it's a match and a couple messages. I'm like, oh, this person has more than two words to say.
Mm-hmm.
There's something here. And we go back and forth and then disappearance. Recently, it's been kind of interesting where it's been the next step in the, you get to the point where, okay, we're off the app and we're texting to each other. We haven't talked on the phone. I think that's actually after you've been on a date.
I was going to say you might be married if you do that.
On the phone.
Yeah.
But you get to the point where, okay, we're off the app. You're on to your actual text messaging. We've exchanged numbers. And in a few cases, they've friended me on Facebook.
Even. Okay.
Like, right out of the gate.
Ooh, okay. I wait for that.
I'm like, cool. You want to do some vetting? You want to see my pictures from 2002?
Like, right.
All right. Cool.
My page is so curated. Go for it.
Get it, man. There are no ex-girlfriends on this thing. You will not find that. This is another picture of me and my mom. But you get to the point where you've actually started texting. A little bit has gone back and forth. And I don't dilly-dally a lot with waiting to ask someone out.
Good.
It says, that's appreciated.
It's their square on my profile. Like, you want to meet in person.
Yeah.
It's one of the things you should maybe be if you want to do some messaging here.
Yeah.
So I'll ask them out via text message. Like, I've got your phone and we're friends on Facebook, dude.
Yeah.
And
nothing.
Silence.
Just crickets. It makes no sense.
Yeah. And I try to give it the benefit of the doubt as well, right? People are busy.
And you never know what someone's actual story is.
Yeah, really. Right? So it's like, wait a little while. Like, I'll wait like 3 or 4 days. It'll get closer. Like, I'll send that like on a early in the week because trying to give you a heads up about next week.
Trying to hang out this weekend.
People need to plan shit.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the same way. Tell me now if we're going to hang out later.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I got shit to do. You know, hang out with some friends.
Gotta go to shelter and
see who's at the scene at the meat market.
Rustle up.
No, but that's totally true. People are just, they kind of, I almost said pussyfoot around it. I don't want to say that, but I did.
Like, gingerly step.
Thank you. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, maybe this weekend. And then you get to this weekend and you're like, the fuck? Where are you? Anything? I'm going to make other plans.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit and wait around.
And then I'm curious to know, I know my response and I'll share that. And then you can tell me what you guys think. Like, how do you navigate it? Like,
when someone's ghosting?
When someone's ghosting. Then,
or doing the slow fade.
The slow fade.
I like to push the issue if they're doing the slow fade and make them fucking say it.
Aggressive. What do you do?
I will politely push the issue, right? For instance, same scenario, like that exact scenario was happened where we met on Bumble, we chatted a bit on there. It was kind of hit or miss with her. It was like long durations in between and then get the response, oh, I'm so bad at this. I'm so sorry. I'm super busy. Yeah, because I'm not.
Right, super busy.
I don't get on here a lot. You know, I'd be better on text.
Sorry, interjection. It's the same communication style. You're still typing words.
Uh-huh.
It's the same. You just have to check it or get a notification or whatever. No, sorry.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
I totally get that. But I give a lot of leeway. There's a long leash these days.
Sure.
So we transition. So she says that. And I'm like, okay, great. Here's my phone number. If you want to do the texting thing, let's do it. Right. And she texts me. And then she friends me on the Facebook. And I'm like, oh, shit. Wait a minute. Maybe I underestimated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Maybe I read this wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So then we're back and forth. Witty banter. Ryan's so funny. And then we do the thing where I ask her out. And then it's like, okay, great, but it's non-committal.
Like, I'll look at my calendar and let you know.
Always non-committal.
And then we get a couple days closer. I'm like, hey, like at the Thursday, we're trying to hang out on Saturday.
Did you look at your calendar yet?
Gonna need an answer.
Exactly, right? Yeah. So you're politely, gingerly walking around the subject and asking, hey, so how does this weekend look? And then it's ghost, ghost, ghost. Sunday, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah. I will say that if I've gotten to a point where I realize I've been ghosted, I'm just done. I'm not going to even reach out because what's the fucking point? Because why do I want somebody who clearly doesn't want me?
Right.
Teach them a lesson.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
they
their fucking loss.
They will never ghost anyone again.
It's right. Yeah, right. No, but the people who try to do the, you've had some level of communication over text or whatever, and then it's sort of like it fades away and you can tell because I've done that. I know what that is. Mm-hmm. I've played this
Michelle
game.
Has executed this little thing.
That's right.
She recognizes it.
And I don't do it anymore because now I've learned that that's fucking rude and I'm just direct. But if they start to do that and pull away, I'll try to like get them to commit to a particular thing and make them say that they don't want to.
Ooh, give me an example. Well, so you have texted me, mm-hmm. and I'm like, non-committal guy.
Right. So I have a perfect example. And I told this story on a very early episode of our podcast. So for those of you who are newer, you might not have heard this one. There was a guy. We went out, had a great time. We talked about hanging out again. That night, though, when he drove me home, because I had Ubered over to Ballard or something, he drove me home and like gave me a hug. And I was like, okay, well, that's not a stellar sign, but all right, whatever. So we're texting a little bit. I knew he was moving the following weekend, so he was going to be busy. So I was ready for less communication than there had been. And I'm not trying to like talk all day or anything, but if you set a precedent of this is how much we've been talking, and then that changes drastically, then it tells you something, right? So I could just tell. Fewer and fewer texts, farther and farther in between. So I eventually texted him and I was like, so hey, I had a really good time. I'd like to see you again. How about Saturday? And he said, I had fun too. You're really great. Something, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. But I'm going to pass. Listeners, you can't see Ryan's face right now.
It's kind of harsh, right?
Yeah.
He's like, well, if you really want to push it, I'm going to pass.
But I'd rather have somebody say that than fucking string me along.
Fair.
Neither, right?
Fair.
Neither right. One feels good.
No, but I can tell you that for me, getting over the harsh, quick sting is a hell of a lot easier than what I do to myself in my head when it's the slow fade and I'm wondering right. What's going on. What do they think? Blah, blah, blah. No.
Yeah. And that's a general error, like in human nature, right? Mm-hmm. The stories that we make up to fill in the blanks that we don't or we think we don't have.
Right.
And oftentimes we actually have all the data.
We just don't like it.
We just don't like it. We don't want to believe that that's what the story is. Right. So we start, well, there has to be a gap between A and right. B because that doesn't make any sense in my world, or I don't want it to. So then we fill in all this other stuff, and that's where we go crazy.
Right? Exactly.
So I appreciate that approach. And if I was the dude in that scenario that was...
Maybe you would have said something nicer, but...
Well, yeah, number one, hopefully. But at the same time, I mean, that is pretty clear indication.
Right.
And those situations that I've been in where it's like, well, I'm in limbo land. I thought you liked me, but now I don't know. This is great over here. Like, that sucks.
It's the fucking worst. Yeah. And which is why I wanted to make him say one way or another.
Have you guys ever been in a situation where you're kind of juggling multiple people, where you're really hitting those apps, you're hitting it hard, and you're not sure which way you want to go, but you don't want to like overcommit yourself to someone? In those situations, you can kind of feel yourself being non-committal and it feels weird.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of always assume like, oh, they're probably seeing other people. You know, like they don't want to commit to this because they're out on the town.
As far as I'm concerned, if you meet somebody on a dating app, which if they're not there for dating, then something is wrong. You have to assume they're
for fucking.
Well, okay, fucking dating, whatever you want to say. I just think that.
Just clarify.
Okay. Sorry.
I like to be specific.
Dating means a lot of things, Megan.
Oh, okay. It's a catch-all.
Yeah, I'm just saying that if they're not there for that, then I don't know what the fuck they're there for. So if they are there for that, if they're on a dating app, you can assume that they're talking to other people until you have the conversation
that they're not.
I think there are a lot of people on dating apps that never intend to meet up or do anything. They just like the attention that they get.
Fucking
they like
stop
getting
it.
Attention from people.
I agree with both of those sentiments. My guess is, because this is unconfirmed, right? Because I've never had a conversation with anyone about, hey, do you just string people along in dating apps? Oh, that's you? Great. You're one of my favorite kind
can
of people.
You, can you please start asking that?
Yeah.
I might just start doing
it. Put it in your profile as a question. Start it out that way. Be like, hey, do you string people along? Do you never intend to meet in person?
Do you just want attention?
Then swipe
so,
right.
Please swipe left, Ryan. Oh, my God. Again, oh I can fix all your problems.
This is going to be such a game changer for me.
Yes. It's going to be just like stacking honeys over.
So I've actually been going on dates with people that I've never wanted to date until now.
That's the problem.
Could you imagine if you matched in your mutual dislike of each other? Like, yep, confirm. They don't like you either.
Confirmed. You hate each other.
It could either be really validating or still make you feel like shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, there certainly are a lot of people that don't like me.
Yeah.
75 dislikes today.
Oh, lovely.
I did get a suggestion from Steve the other day.
Okay.
Steve's one of my best friends since I was 7. And he's, I don't think he's ever done the dating app thing. He's just always
had a
girlfriend. Lucky
bastard.
He's like, well, what if you tried a menu option? I'm like, what are you talking about? Which is great because he's never done this. So it's just like unfiltered perspective. He's like, well, what if in your little like description of yourself, you said, if you want to go on dates with people, choose one of the following. And you could have like date A, A coffee date. Date B. I loved how he titled them. The classic date. Dinner and drinks and who knows what else. Oh. And then the third one was adventure date.
Oh.
Right, which was undefined, but I mean, come on. Adventures aren't defined.
That's right.
So you leave it open-ended.
Choose your own adventure. That's what it should be called. Choose your own adventure.
Bingo. And then the girl chooses which one they want to do in their response. Like they match with you. And yeah. I'm like, I choose date C.
Okay, well, please do that. And we're going to have you back on in a couple months.
Yeah.
You're going to tell us how that's going.
Deal.
Also, have you ever had someone bring somebody along on a date?
What?
Like a kid or a friend?
A kid?
Yeah. I've talked to guys who've told me that they've had women bring their children.
What the fuck?
I know. It's fucked up. Also, I brought Heather on a date with me once.
What?
She was in town visiting me from Chicago, and we were going to go to a Mariners game, and this guy wanted to go get a drink, and I was like, well, you know, my friend's in town. I'm like,
okay,
unless you want to hang out with both of us, and he's like, absolutely.
That's different.
So
I'm sorry, did you ask me to hang out with two girls at the same time?
Right. I thought you were saying you, like, set up a date and then showed up with somebody randomly. Like, Megan, come on.
No, I told him in advance. But I have talked to multiple guys who have said that women have showed up and just, like, put their kids at a different table or something.
Wow. Unfucking real.
That's never happened to you?
That has not Good. Happened yet.
Never say never.
But I am hopeful. Like, I don't know about you guys, but like I'm getting to the point with the dating apps especially where things like a menu of options and some other crazy idea or seeing if I can go on dates with people that bring children to them.
You need a bingo card.
Right. It's turning into a game.
Right.
It really is.
What else could happen?
Oh my God. Oh, I do just want to say that I have actually told stories about Ryan on this podcast before.
The story that you mentioned, I actually tell girls that I'm dating.
Just in case.
As a precursor. So they know what they're getting into.
When you go on dates, can you also start telling people about our podcast?
We can get a few more listeners here and there.
We can give you a stack of stickers. You can give one out on each date you go.
Yeah, I'm game. I'm
excellent.
In.
Bingo.
Done.
There's another box on that bingo card.
Even if you don't want to see me again, I encourage you to listen to this podcast. Here's a sticker.
Yeah, Ryan was the one we talked about on our sleep episode who was looking for the portal to another dimension in my parents' closet when we were house sitting.
It was there.
And now you tell lady friends who you might be spending the night with about that?
Well, yeah, because this sleep activities not evaporated. I mean, they haven't disappeared. Yeah. So it occasionally, recently, happens where I might wake up in the middle of the night.
Sometimes you try to make someone a sandwich. Sometimes you find a portal. Sometimes you just yell fuck really loud.
I just forgotten about the sandwich. I didn't remember that at all.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
And you were so mad at me when I started laughing after I took the sandwich because I thought you woke up.
Like I literally made a whole sandwich?
Not like a real sandwich.
Oh.
It was a dream sandwich.
Okay, this makes more sense.
You were working early in the morning. I was working evenings. And so you had already been asleep and I came to bed and like woke you up a little bit. You were like, here. And you tried to hand me a nothing. Here. And I was like, what is it?
I'm so stoked I'm polite in my sleep.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah, you also yelled fuck at me sometimes.
Sometimes
so.
I'm not.
Yeah. No, but you're like, here. And I was like, well, what is it? You're like, it's the sandwich you wanted. Just take it. And I was like, all right. So I take it. But then you did the like, I'm sort of waking up a little bit sounds. And so I started laughing. And then you were like, what? And I said, you just tried to give me a sandwich. And you were like, yeah.
Oh my God. That's so awesome. Duh.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, so I used that portal story knowing that I have this history, and it wasn't just that time, or those three times.
Right.
Or 17 times.
I'm not the only one that's seen it, is what you're saying. Yes.
Right, yes. Yeah. So knowing that this is a behavior that could be replicated, and I don't have control over, right?
Right.
If I've met a lovely young lady, and we love each other very much.
Right. What we do is a special hug, and then we fall asleep.
Well, after our special hug... I don't want to randomly surprise my special friend who stayed the night. So I made to let them know, like, it's really kind of funny. It's not that big a deal.
Nothing good ever starts that way.
So yeah. I'll just share that story,
yeah.
Right? That, you know, sometimes I don't sleepwalk, but I'm a little animated in my sleep. And then they're like, what kind of weirdo am I dating?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, here's the deal. Here's the story. Mm-hmm. And I tell the portal to another world story. I try to tell it as best you can. in a way that sounds charming and doesn't make them want to run out the door, which has been successful so far.
I found it quite charming and very hilarious, so.
Thank you. I'm using that in my explanation from now on.
Yeah. It's been described as charming and hilarious.
Sounds like a movie preview. What's been described as charming and hilarious may creep your shit out.
Again, not that big a deal.
Actually, I've been seeing a girl for a little bit of time now, and she stayed the night maybe a week or two ago. Let's add to the funny stories. Well, she didn't take it as funny.
Oh.
In the middle of the night, I sit straight up, and I am convinced that there are at least three people in this room.
Sorry, do you remember?
Yes.
Like, you remember that feeling? Okay.
100%. Go on. Yeah, this one I remember.
Okay.
I remember sitting up and realizing there are at least three people in my apartment, which isn't possible. So I'm like, okay, this is interesting. And I'm just like watching this scenario, which is weird because I'm oddly calm that three people are in my bedroom, strangers. Let me observe this.
Maybe they were ghosts.
Let me see what happens. Yeah. And maybe my conscious mind is kind of clued in like, you're not really here, dude. So it's like keeping me from overreacting. Regardless, one of the imaginary people is about to poke, like push her or whatever, or like trying to wake her up. And I look, I look in that direction, which is literally in her direction. And she's awake by now.
Yeah.
I don't know this.
Right.
And I look over that direction and I say, it's time for you to go. Just
oh
like, boom. Like,
wow.
I'm going to lay the hammer down. You don't get your ass out of here.
You were trying to protect her.
Yeah.
You're messing with my special friend. Like, don't bring that in my house.
Oh,
and
my
also,
God.
How did you get in here? There's a lot of questions. Not concerned with that. Get your ass out the door. Like, that's what we're doing here.
Oh,
so
no.
That's as far as it went in my head.
Oh, my
not
God.
Knowing that she was awake.
Right.
So the next day, we had a nice conversation.
I bet.
So yeah, she's like, so what happened last night? I was so scared. I'm like, what?
Well, see, there's this portal and these guys came out.
These guys came out.
It totally sounds like someone trying to cover their ass, honestly.
It
like,
does.
I
it
asked
really
you to
does.
Leave, but now I see I'm in deep shit. So I'm going to make up this story about, well, I saw three people. Please tell me that you had already warned her.
I had.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah, I may have also already removed a painting off the wall. In a previous sleepover. It's really weird. It's really
maybe
weird.
Maybe certain people bring it out in you.
I think it's partly because I'm not super comfortable like
sharing your bed.
Sharing my space. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially having been single now for like 3 years and living on my own for 9. It's a little bit different deal, right? Like I'm not used to having people in my apartment stay the night. Like people come over and we hang out, but like staying the night even closer in my bed, in my room. It's
mm-hmm.
like,
but I got to call you on some bullshit because 20 years ago, you were still doing that shit and we lived together. So
that's true.
Yeah.
That is true. This has been a long,
long
standing
time.
Scenario.
Yeah. So tell yourself whatever you need to. But just saying.
It is kind of hard when you have been single for a long time and you're used to having all your own space. And having someone come into
oh,
that
yeah.
space.
Yeah.
Like Michelle and I were just talking about this the other day, mm-hmm. how she can do like an all-day date with somebody who's fairly new and enjoy it. And I would need a break. Like that's too much time. Maybe like 4 or 5 hours and then meet up with them later or something.
For the record, we made it 27 and we were both excited for the next time we get to do that.
Dear
so.
God.
Wait, 27 what?
Hours.
Straight?
Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive.
Would
well,
that,
that's a love
Do you think
connection.
That would make you uncomfortable? Not uncomfortable, but like, do you think you'd maybe want a break for a little bit? Or would you be cool with this 27 hours straight?
Or does it depend on the person?
I think all of those things kind of factor into it, right? And I think kind of where I am at in my life, like your lead into that question is having been living on my own for so long, I'm very accustomed to my own space. I also have a lot of social time and a lot of time I spend with friends and I go out and do whatever I want to do. But like, I really think of my space as like,
sanctuary. Yeah.
Exactly. So to have someone in that space is, you know, it's not like, oh my God, it's so special. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, don't invite everybody over.
It's a right? disruption, right?
Right.
Sometimes invited.
To spend like 27 hours at this point in my life where, you know, I've been single for this amount of time, it would be a little bit of an adjustment. I'm like, okay, I've got other stuff to do and I'm running out of things to say.
Right.
There's only so much witty that's in this yeah. thing. But, you know, I think back to when I was younger and I got super excited about somebody, all bets are off, right? I don't know. I was thinking about this the other day. That's kind of what you want to have happen, to be so
yeah.
pumped about somebody. And it's been a little bit of time now where mm-hmm. like I've gone on a date and I'm like, fuck, I just want to hang out again. Let's do this again tomorrow.
Right.
Cannot have any reservations about it or anything, right? Just like that kind of pure, unbridled excitement. right. about another human without putting all the filters up between, well, I don't know how long, what's the long-term plan, what's their job again, and
have you had a vasectomy? Have you had a vasectomy?
It's so funny because, I mean, you're a listener, you know, she and I, the way that we approach things is often very different. And like, Megan is someone who wants less communication, not no communication, ghosters, but less, and needs a lot more of her own space and time, and has a lot of shit going on in her life. Very, very busy.
Right.
And I'm someone who I appreciate more of that. And so we often find ourselves describing something that happened to the other one and being like, and you liked that?
You guys texted all day long and you liked it?
Well, I don't do that. But, you know, it blew her mind that we were going to spend the entire day together.
Right.
And then they had plans that evening, too.
And then we spent the night and spent half the next day together. So
yeah. It's like you fell into a love hole. I don't know where you went.
Excuse me, but my love hole is amazing.
So I've heard.
I cannot confirm or deny said comments.
You know what? Levels change after 24
it's
years.
True. This level's had a couple babies at this point.
Different kind of love.
That's at least the fourth time I've almost spit my Prosecco out all over this table.
I really, really appreciate that. Anything for a laugh.
Speaking of babies coming out of love holes, do you shy away from dating people with kids, or does it not matter to you? Or
no, I don't, for a couple of reasons.
Don't date them or don't shy away from?
I'm sorry, good distinction. I don't shy away from dating girls that have kids. Mm-hmm. One is a very pragmatic reason. You're 44, Ryan. Like, if you cut out every woman that has a kid, you're going to cut out a pretty good chunk of the
limiting dating pool. Yourself. Yeah.
Okay. And is that a choice you want to make? You're going to miss out on some great people. My mom was a single mom before she met my dad. Mm-hmm. And my mom's pretty dope. So why would I do that? That's kind of where my logic comes from.
Oh, okay. Just curious, because you talked about maybe being interested in having a family. Because some people that are in that situation will only date people that don't have kids, right. but want them. Because
to have their own kids only.
Right, yeah. right. They want do like the whole, I always say the whole fairy tale. You know what I mean?
Well,
I get it.
You know, yeah. Like,
I think we all left the fairy tale period of life like 15 years ago. So
yeah.
None of us can hold on to that anymore, really. I think you're right. At 44, how are you going to have the same outlook and I was going to say hopes for, but that's very pessimistic. But you just can't have the same ideas about it that you did 10, 15 years ago.
Right. Yeah. Like,
44 is still pretty young. But
no, I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm just
agree.
Saying, yeah.
Have you picked out a coffin yet?
Jesus, Megan.
Well, that's how we're talking. Like,
you just can't have the same expectation as you could in your early 30s.
You can, but like he said, you would be significantly limiting your options.
Right.
If you only want sparkling brand new love holes.
And if there's a 44-year-old sparkling brand new love hole.
Can that be the title of this episode, please? Yeah. Sparkling brand new love hole.
Absolutely.
Also the name of my new website.
Yeah. You could have a dating app called that.
That sounds like a lawsuit waiting to happen.
You could also incorporate that into your menu. It's your love hole. One, sparkling new. Two, slightly used. Three, fucking wrecked. Don't go there.
There's only three options?
Well, I don't know.
I feel like there's more.
Give me some more.
Give me some more options. What other options are there?
Slightly used and fucking wrecked. I feel like there's a couple stops on that train.
Okay, I've never wanted to create fake profiles on a dating app.
But now you do.
But now I'm starting to see a little reason why that would be really entertaining.
So are you going to say that you're a woman with a sparkling brand new vagina? Sorry, love hole. And see what you catch? Is that the goal here?
No.
I make great sandwiches, but they're imaginary.
Yeah, they're not real. I'll tell you one thing, Ryan. Mid-40s, all we want is a fucking sandwich. Make a real sandwich.
I was really ahead of my time. Granted, it was imaginary.
It was not real.
But still, my heart was in the right place.
It really was.
Have you ever been invited to be a moderator on a dating app?
No. What is that?
When I was on OkCupid, I got invited to be a moderator. Certain people that are on the app are also moderators. So if you see a profile that breaks the rules, someone can report it. And then if you log into the app, or maybe back then it was the website, I don't know, you log in to do moderating, not to be dating or whatever, then you get to see all these profiles that have been reported. And then if three or more moderators say, yeah, this has got to get yanked, it's against the rules, they'll take the profile down. So I got so entertained by being a moderator that I used to just log into the dating app to moderate. I was like, I haven't used this thing to date in forever. There was like fetish profiles. And I remember this one profile of this girl that was an adult, but she was in like a specially built high chair and she had like a big lollipop and like a baby bonnet on. And there was all kinds of stuff like that.
I bet
that.
There were plenty of people who were into that.
So. Wow. I appreciate the role of a moderator, but at the same time, I kind of want to see the baby bonnet picture, like profile pop up in my feed.
I know,
feed,
you know? Right? I mean, if I knew then what I know now, I would have been like, that's fine. It's fine. It's
do
all good.
Remember the message we got when we made our threesome profile on Plenty of Fish?
We did do a fake profile.
Ooh, that's right. Yep.
And the whole episode about that. And one of the messages we got was, I am diaper boy.
That's right.
That's all it said.
That's it?
He wanted us to...
Probably change his diaper.
Probably. I don't know. I am diaper boy. And then we didn't respond. And he said, I'm sorry. LOL.
I thought you might be into it. Never mind.
Well, I appreciate the follow-up. Like, this was a swing and a miss.
Right.
My bad.
Right.
Moving on.
That's some good self-awareness.
He's like speaking a special code that not everyone knows.
Right.
What's the generic shit that you see on women's profiles? Because we always talk about the stuff we see on men's profiles. Like, they're hiking, they're skiing, they're fishing.
Right.
I've heard women do, like, a lot of yoga poses and...
Oh, yeah.
Butterfly wings on a wall behind them. Am I right?
Never seen it. That would be completely original. Right. I would swipe left immediately.
I'm not trusting any of your swiping anymore. I don't think you know what you're doing, right?
I thought I picked the right one that time. Damn it.
What else?
It isn't a criticism, but there are a lot of girls out there that want adventure. That's a very common one. What else is out
there?
They
showing a lot of skin. A lot of bikini pics.
Interesting you mention that, because that has been one of my observations about some folks on dating apps, which I'm curious to know, like, are dudes like representing themselves the same way that some girls represent themselves, which is they're on their own model shoot here.
Yeah.
Right? They think they're going to be in swimsuit magazine.
Yeah.
And that is what their profile is. On the one hand, it's clickbait, right? Like,
sure.
It's eye-catching, right? You're like, whoa, you're an attractive girl. But then you're looking at that, like, after three pictures.
I think a lot of those are fake.
And that's where your head goes.
Yeah.
You're either thinking, okay, this is either bullshit. This is a fake profile, and this is going to lead to some sort of scam
Bitcoin
scenario or whatever weird thing is happening here. Or let's say that's a legit person. Okay, cool. I think as your own individual looking at that, and it could be dude, girl, whatever... Like, as you look at someone else that is so revealing about their clothing and whatever,
sure.
Is that right for you? You know, and I'm just like, well, you know, maybe not.
Is this like a lifestyle match?
Right. Yeah. Thank you. That's exactly it. Are we coming from the same place in life? Are we coming from the same place with how we want to approach things? I'm not into a lot of social media. I have the Facebooks and I have the LinkedIns and that is all I do.
Right.
Right. So the stuff where you're trying to get a lot of likes and hits is not really my jam. So if someone is really into that kind of thing and they post according to that, with that motivation, then it's like, okay, like we might not be the right.
A lot of people like that, or they want to photograph every moment of their life too. Like,
or you end up on the Tinder swindler.
That's right.
I mean, if that's the image you're putting out there, you're trying to attract a particular kind of person, somebody who would be attracted to that, and you're either just trying to scam them or you're so fucking superficial that... I don't know. For us, I think it's the gym selfies and the like, this is my abs in the mirror.
There's
and I'm like,
I think the male equivalent to that is like the selfie. Maybe you can see their jaw or not their head at all. So it's like neck
torso.
To nuts, basically.
They're wearing
like
nuts.
Just like boxer briefs and they're like pulling them down a little or something. Yes.
Oh,
I don't want to see that. Like, I'd love to see that in my bedroom later once I know you and I like you and I want that there.
It just makes me roll my eyes. You
exactly.
Know? I'm like, whatever.
That's not the person on the dating app that I'm like, yes, please.
Right.
No.
Yeah. I think we approach that the same way.
Yeah.
At the same time, they're marketing to a certain kind of person that they're like stoked for that. I have a friend that it's been a couple of years now. He's been single and he came up to Seattle after becoming single. And he's like, Ryan, tell me about these dating apps. And he shows me his profile and I'm like, whoa, bro. I'm like, wow, good work on the abs, man. Really impressive.
Also,
but maybe let's tone that down
a little bit. Let's not lead with that.
Mystery.
Yeah. Let them discover those for themselves.
Right.
But when you look at that, he is putting his marketing out there for a very specific kind of girl and what he's specifically looking for. Knowing him, I can knowledgeably tell you what he's looking for. And he is marketing appropriately for what he's looking for, right?
Then there you go.
And he got what he was looking for.
Oh, good.
So
good for him.
You put that stuff out there and it's just like being discerning about, well, that's not for me. Very attractive, but not for me.
Right. Okay, we are pushing an hour here.
Oh, shit.
So, I know it goes fast, right? Any last thoughts? Any stories we didn't get to share? Words of wisdom for the lady daters out there to get your attention? Things you've learned?
Yeah, because they're all lining up to get my attention. It's been the real clear lesson I've gotten from all of the dating apps.
Trapdoor somewhere.
For real? Advice. I mean, the thing I would say that would be appreciated, I'll put it that way. The thing that a decent dude, as I've been told that I am,
you are,
would appreciate is just respond and be kind, right?
Right.
That's it. I mean, respond if you want to not talk to somebody anymore. Just say, hey, enjoyed the conversation this far, but it's a pass.
Right? don't say that, though. That sucks.
I think
it's better than nothing.
I'm going to pass. Okay. Taking that note, do you think that the little white lie, given that you don't know this person and you have no fucking idea what's happening in their life, if someone is to say, or if you were to say to someone, met somebody that I'm trying to like see where that goes. Nice talking to you. Good luck out there.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Totally okay. Cool.
Because then it's not about them. Like, I'm not trying to tell you what's wrong with you or say I'm not into it or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's kind. Whether it's true or not, they'll never know.
Right.
But it's saying something. Because I'd rather have an answer than no answer.
Yeah, and that's fair. It's a polite way to do that. And
right.
I think that'd be much preferred over
nothing
or the hard stop, right? Like, you suck or whatever.
You're fucking gross.
But one thing you said in there, I've been thinking about a fair amount, and this comes up in dating apps, is that we don't owe each other anything.
We do not.
I am going to take a different perspective.
You think so?
Yes. I think we all owe each other kindness.
I
know that sounds like, you know, soft and
right.
Cuddly, but we do owe each other like kindness and politeness.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm on the street and someone asks me a question, I'm not going to be like, turn my head and walk away.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm not going to be, ooh, sorry, hard pass on that question. Right. No one does that. I mean, be polite.
Sometimes, because sometimes the people who ask the questions are not being very polite and kind.
Well, yeah. If someone's being a dick to you, then,
right. Yeah.
Then they get what they get in behavior back. But in saying that, part of my contention is, one, it's a polite way to do things. And I think the world is just a little bit better if we can be polite to each other a little bit more than we have been. And then secondly, along those lines, we live in this world where a lot of times we're looking at each other in very skeptical ways, mm-hmm. in very harsh ways. And we all comment on, man, it's so hard out there. Everybody's so rude to each other.
Yeah. And there we are being rude.
And there we are like, oh, I don't owe you anything. I cannot ever comment to you again. And that's fine. So how about a little bit of kindness, showing a little bit of kindness to someone, even in responding, hey, I'm not interested, or I'm going to tell you a little white lie to scoot out of this and save your feelings. That's a kindness that you've done to that person.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think personally, I do think we owe each other kindness. I owe each other a little bit of civility in these interactions.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not good for a podcast, but then we don't
it's
have
all
this,
great.
But then
point.
We don't have like conversations about like, oh man, dating apps are the worst because everybody's a douche.
Yeah. Well, we would have a lot less fodder that way for sure, but I would feel better about everything.
I'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. I agree with you. I think that one of the biggest reasons that I maintain that you don't owe people anything, I don't owe people anything, nobody owes me anything, is that I try to keep in mind that whatever's going on out there, I've just met somebody. I don't know them. I don't know anything about their life. They don't really know me at all. They don't owe me an explanation as to why they maybe aren't talking to me anymore. It would be nice if they said, hey, I'm not going to talk to you anymore, right? I think it all comes back to the whole it's not about you thing that I try to always remember. People are all going through shit, and 99.999% of it is not about me. There's maybe a couple people who are going through some little tiny piece of their life that is about me, and that's it.
Right.
And so I just try to keep that in mind, in the like, you don't owe me anything, I don't owe you anything. I think it's more about that. Reminding myself that they have their own shit happening. Whatever that is not about me.
Right.
But you're right. I do think that it would all be better with that kindness and civility.
So maybe like a happy median is like, you don't know what's going on with me. I don't owe you anything, but we can be nice to each other.
Exactly.
Or maybe at least be more respectful if you've actually been
communicating,
you know, and texting or messaging back and forth to disappear completely in that scenario. I do think maybe you owe a little bit more, you know, of an explanation.
Especially if you've been out twice.
Yeah.
Folks, should you be listening?
Why would they listen?
Probably not. I'm just saying, fuck that.
And on that happy note.
Okay, well, Ryan, after you change your profile and experiment and take surveys and have some data with your new menu options and
like
all
this.
The fun things, we're going to have you back. and we're going to talk about them.
Maybe you should keep your regular profile and then just create a second experimental profile.
Oh, man. The nerd in me is getting so excited about keeping the data on these two profiles.
We're going to be up to like 4 in the morning.
And see what happens. There's going to be charts and graphs.
Please do that. We will use all of it for data for our next time we have you back. Because it's going to happen. Because this is really fun.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Good. Thank you for listening all the time. And thank you for being here. And I'm glad Megan finally got to meet you. Because I've told her many stories.
Time. In real life.
In real life.
I've seen him on dating apps many times.
Yeah, there he is. Like,
Michelle's in my pictures. I'm going to swipe right.
So swipe right is I like you. Swipe left is I don't.
Right feels right.
Oh, there it is.
Left feels wrong.
On that note, everyone, you can find us online at ProseccoTheory.com. All the things Megan hates it when I say. Instagram at ProseccoTheory. Merch at tpublic.com. Like, rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends. And Ryan, thanks for being here. Cheers.
Cheers, friends.
Cheers.